continue in our series from the Psalms, and today we're going to be addressing some thoughts from Psalm number 67. If we had to praise in an accent, do I have to preach in an accent this morning? Today's message is why God gives His blessings. Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is not a terribly long psalm, just 7 verses. Everybody got Psalm 67? Let's start at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and look on us with favor, so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Lord, this morning as we look into your word, we pray that you will just make it to be real meat and nourishment for our spirits. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I need your help. And I need your help because every day, I come across people around town here in Bangor or people who call me on the phone, and they have no good fortune. There's people who are hurting. There's people who are lost. Maybe you've met one or two of these yourself. They're frustrated people. They are depressed, unfulfilled. Perhaps they're unemployed. Perhaps they feel unloved. Perhaps they're hungry, literally. And they're starving. Or perhaps they feel oppressed. I have spoken with people just in these last couple weeks who are suicidal. People who are experiencing problems with drug abuse, drug addiction. Just call it drug dependency. I have spoken with godless people. And when I speak to people like that, I think it's my obligation to bring the Lord to them and bring them to the Lord. And the problem is that there's so many of them that I can't get them all. I can't get to them all myself. And it hurts my heart because of the fact that I need help. And although God's blessing is large enough to share so that He could bless every single soul on the face of planet Earth, I'm only able to be in one place at a time to bring blessings in one place at a time. And I just don't have the capacity to do all that alone. No surprise there, right? I mean, who could do it all alone? So what do I mean by this? When I say that I need your help, well, the thing is that God doesn't want me to do it alone either. He knows that if there are 7 billion people on planet Earth, how many different kinds of people are there on planet Earth? About 7 billion. Because nobody is the same. Everybody's an individual. You're each an individual fingerprint. No two people on planet Earth are exactly alike. And we all come with different needs. We all have different personalities, right? Don't we? And because of the fact that we all have different personalities, there's individuals that I will never be able to minister to because people won't like me. Because there will be some people that just won't like me because my personality rubs them the wrong way. And because of that, I'll never be able to reach them. But guess who can? Somebody whose personality doesn't rub them the wrong way. And guess who that might be? Look at the person sitting next to you and say, he must be talking to you. Maybe I am. But maybe I'm talking to you. One of my favorite stories about this, and some of you might have heard this story, many of you know that years ago I was a planter for a chain of shoe stores, Brown Shoe Company. You know, they made Buster Browns and Naturalizers. And if you've never heard of Brown Shoe Company, you've heard of those shoes probably. And I had just planted a store up in Ithaca, New York. And this lady comes walking into the store, and I walked up to her and said, "Good morning, how are you?" And she said, "You know what? You remind me of my son-in-law." And of course, I'm thinking, well, he must be dashingly handsome and intelligent. But she went on to say, "And I hate my son-in-law. Would you mind if somebody else waited on me?" I said, "No problem. No problem at all." I went back and got my assistant manager. His name was Jeff Yingling. He don't like the beer. Spelled differently. I brought him out and I said, "Ma'am, I want you to meet my assistant manager. His name's Jeff. He'll be happy to help you, whatever you want." She walked out with 6 pairs of shoes and 6 matching handbags. And this guy set a wool shoe company record for a single sale. Wouldn't have worked out if I'd been the one trying to do it, would it? She probably would have walked out, you know, without buying anything because that big ugly guy that reminded her of her son-in-law. And what was the thing that made the difference? Personality. She didn't like the way I looked at my personality. There are going to be people that you're going to be able to reach that I can never get to. So guess what? I need your help. If we're going to reach our community and we're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, I need your help. How are we going to do that? Well, first thing we need to know is a little bit about blessings. And here we find in Psalm 67 some words about God's blessing. And if you're following along on the PowerPoint up here, number one, point number one, this is a very simple 2-point message. This is so simple. Number one, God is the source of all blessing. Okay? The source of blessing is God. Verse number one says it very clearly. May God be gracious to us. May God be gracious to us and bless us, look on us with favor. How many of you believe that God is the source of all blessing? It's very easy to say when you're in the company of a whole bunch of other believers that are saying the same thing. But it's another thing to believe it with all your heart. Even still, this is a conviction that is absolutely essential to the Christian life and how we live it. Because God's blessings are essential because they bring joy. God's blessings bring us joy. Now that may not sound like absolutely earth-shattering, you know, duct tape moment preaching, but I think sometimes we lose sight of that fact. We lose sight of the fact that if there is a blessing in your life, it's something that God has planted there. I don't care how big it is, I don't care how little it is, all blessings come from God. Even James said it. You hear Don praying this quite regularly. God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. So every blessing that you own, every blessing that you have, is something that God planted there. Okay? So God is the source of all blessing. And the psalmist writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us. What does that mean? That means that may God find pleasure in us and satisfaction in us by bestowing us power that we need for things like success, prosperity, fruitfulness. And I know that sounds kind of enjoyable, doesn't it? How many of you would like to have a little more prosperity? You know, just a little. Okay, how many of you would like a lot more? Okay, well, God not only blesses us with the essentials of life, food, clothing, air to breathe, water to drink, but He also gives us the ability to develop these things. Did you know that? If you have been blessed by God and you have been able to take that thing that God has blessed you with and you've seen that develop into something greater, that is a blessing in itself. So God only blesses you, He gives you the ability to develop that blessing into greater blessings. Right? He does. He absolutely does. Jesus made it very clear when He spoke about the fact that God blesses people. And He said it like this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You ever hear that? Where's that found? Somebody say Matthew chapter 5. Oh, you're Bible scholars. There you go. "Blessed are the meek." Where's that found? Matthew chapter 5. Thank you. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Where's that found? Now you kind of get any idea where these things can be found? Okay. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. We find this all in Matthew chapter 5, in a little section of scripture we call the Beatitudes. The thing I love about that is, not only does he say, here, these people will be blessed, but he goes on to say something like this: for they will be comforted, they will inherit the earth, they will be filled, they will be shown mercy, they will see God, they will be called the children of God. See, with every one of these things, there's blessings. The blessings come from God. What if I was to tell you that blessings are absolutely essential? Now, you might not think so. You may just think they're, you know, gravy or icing on the cake. But I believe that God's blessings are essential because they bring life to life. That is, they bring life to your life. They bring life to mine. If I were to ask some people where happiness comes from, okay, if I was to ask you that question, where does happiness come from? Of course, many of you are going to say, well, obviously the answer is God. That's God. God brings the blessings, therefore he must bring the happiness. I would venture a guess that if you went out into the secular public and asked them, where does happiness come from, that more than likely they would begin giving you a list of material things or possessions or family or something that is all temporal. It's all in the here and now. They would say that it comes from an adequate or abundant supply of things that they hold valuable. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy because I have an abundant supply of this. Or I'm happy because I have an abundant supply of that. I would suggest to you that happiness rests on more than what the world defines as success. And if any of you are keyed into my Facebook page, you saw that I wrote something this week, and that is that the greatest things in life aren't things at all. Oh, wait a minute. Are you sure about that? Because if I had a few more of these things, I'd be happy. Or if I had a few more of those things, then I would be happy. Is that the way it works? What is the greatest blessing in the world? If I was to ask you, what is the greatest blessing on planet Earth? How many of you would immediately think of this scripture verse? Romans chapter 8. Verses 20 and 21. Is that the first thing that pops into your head? How many of you will be honest enough to say, no, I don't even know what that verse says? Well, turn over there, you'll find out. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. You notice I don't put the verse up there, I just give you the reference. Do you know why? Because I'm mean. And I want you to actually page through your own Bible and find it for yourself and not just read it from that. Everybody got Romans 8, 20 and 21? Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. 22? Okay, want me to read 22? Does it really? Well, let's read them all. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Now you might be thinking, what does that have to do with blessing? Well, let me just give it to you in the Van Horn paraphrase edition. It goes something like this. The greatest blessing in life is that every child of God has been set free from the curse and will therefore not see destruction. You hear what I just said? If you believe in Jesus, you are not subject to the curse and you are free from destruction. What a blessing that is. Folks, that's more blessed than a hi-fi blue Harley Heritage soft tail in the driveway. The truth is that real blessing can only be known by those who follow the way, the truth, and the life. And that is whom? That is Jesus, whom we will celebrate later this morning by receiving communion. And this is the central theme of Psalm 67, verse 1. God, please look favorably upon us. In other words, please let your face shine upon us and be kind and merciful toward us. That is more important, folks, than attaining anything that we can obtain temporally on planet Earth. Or would you differ with me? Anybody want to argue that? Go ahead, argue. Say, go ahead. No takers. Good. Because what could be more important than for having the Creator of all that is to look at you and smile? I think that is infinitely better than the reverse, than to look at you and go. Number two, we are blessed to bless. We are blessed to bless. Verses 2 through 5, so that your way may be made known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse number 2 here encourages us in a couple different directions here, but it encourages us for the purpose of what? God bless us so that the world will know. Do you notice that? Bless us, verse 1. Bless us. And the outcome is what? So that all might know. Look at verse 7. Bless us. So what? So that all will know. What is the purpose of God's blessings in your life? How many of you think it's to make you wide and happy? Is that the purpose? Is God's blessings being poured on you just to make you happy? No. When God blesses His people, it's so that He will be made known. Now, how will God ever be made known through His blessings if you and I take His blessings and zip up about it? We are blessed for the purpose of blessing. We are blessed to bless others. This pattern that we see here in verse number 1 and verse number 7, I believe is absolutely intentional, because it shows us that the purpose of God's blessings is not for selfish enjoyment of the blessings by God's people, but to take those blessings and make sure that everybody else knows about it. You see what I said here? Verse 1, bless us so that they will all know. Verse 7, bless us so that they will all know. I think that's an intentional pattern. God wants to bless you, so what? So that you'll be a blessing to others. This blessing is designed for the purpose of enlightening a darkened world. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I suggest that you watch the news and take a walk around town. We are living in an age that is growing ever and ever and ever darker. You have the blessed job of being a light shining in the darkness. And when God blesses you with something, don't put it in a little wooden box and hide it under the bed. Take that blessing and just throw it out there for everybody else to enjoy. Amen? What are some blessings God has given you? If God has blessed you in a particular way, chances are that He wants you to bless somebody with that blessing. Okay? If God has blessed you, He wants you to use that blessing to touch somebody else. Every one of us has been blessed with a particular personality type. You hear what I just said? You have a personality type. You have got a set of abilities. you have got a way about you that is going to draw somebody else to Jesus. I don't know exactly who that's going to be, but everybody has been blessed with a personal personality. What are your interests? What are some things that you can use to bring the message of salvation to somebody else? I don't know about you, but you ever feel a sense of pity on people that don't know Jesus? You ever feel sorry for them? Feel that sense of pity? I do once in a while. When I look at people and see the emptiness in their lives, when I look at people that are unsaved and they're leading such empty, hollow existences, I feel pity. I feel very bad at times. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I want you to consider this country's appalling divorce rate. I want you to consider this country's appalling, not just the divorce rate among non-believers, but the divorce rate among believers is just as bad as the non-believers. I want you to consider the appalling amount of drug abuse. I want you to consider the absolute epidemic of suicides in this country. I want you to consider the moral depravity that you see all around you. And if I was to tell you that all of these things are symptoms of people who are trying to find joy and happiness in their life in all the wrong places, would that surprise you? I was talking to somebody some time ago, and they were talking to me about the problems they're having in their marriage. I asked them if there's a third party involved. They said, yes, there might be, but you know the grass is always greener on the other side. I don't believe that. I believe the grass is greenest where you water it. If it's green on the other side, it means that's where you've been throwing your water. When I look around and I see all these individuals suffering on planet Earth, I see a lack of hope. And one of the things that absolutely broke my heart 3 years ago when we first came here was when I looked around town, I saw people with lack of hope. And I realized that lack of hope is a street-level problem. But I want to praise the Lord for something. You know what that is? That even while lack of hope is a street-level problem, it has a street-level solution. You know what that is? It's the people with hope taking the hope out there to the hopeless. And that is a street-level solution. And the problem is, you can't count on the pastor and the deacons to do it all. Because we can only be in one place at a time. If all God's people got serious about sharing His blessings with others, how many people would we reach? I'm not too sure just how many of you who are here today. I didn't do a head count. But I'm going to guess somewhere around 40. How's that? Okay. Perfect? I got one thing right already today. If I was to reach one person a day until next Sunday, how many people would I reach in a week? All of you mental mathematicians said, okay, that's 7 times 1, and 7 is, times 1 is 7. Okay, 7. What if 40 people did it? How many is that? 280. Just take one person a day. One person. That's it. And share a blessing with them. 280? That's practically trigonometry. When will that happen? When do you think, like Jesus said, the fields are white. In other words, they're white and ready for the harvest. You can see the wheat stalks. They've got that glowing thing on the top of them. You know, that thing that tells you that they're ready to be harvested. How will we know when the earth is ready for its harvest? Well, Jesus already said it. The fields are ready for the harvest. Now, we need harvesters. What does that mean? When will the earth yield its harvest? I'll tell you when it will yield its harvest. And that's when all the people of God get serious about taking the Lord's blessings and the Lord's message and going out into the harvest fields and starting to harvest the grain. When will that happen? as soon as we make up our mind to. As soon as we make up our mind and go do it. So how about it? Will you help me with this? Will you? Will you help me with this, please? I need your help. God's blessing is large enough to share around, and together, under the leadership of Jesus, under His leadership, we can do it. Lord, please let Your face shine on us so that when we go out into the world, we can take that shining love of Your face and just recklessly scatter it out there. You have each been individually gifted or blessed in a way that God wants to use to glorify Himself in the world. There's two ways to look at this. Number one is the spiritual gift method. What is my spiritual gift? Well, some of you know what your spiritual gift is and some of you don't. Take your spiritual gift and let the Lord use it. That's way number one. But what if I don't know what my spiritual gift is? Well then, very simply, what is something you love to do? You have a talent or something you love to do? Well, yeah, but I don't know how I can bless anybody with my love for gardening. Well, you can. Go to your neighbor who needs some garden work and say, "Hi, I just want to share with you in a creative way the fact that God loves you. Can I weed your garden for you? I love doing gardening." I don't. I got a fortune cookie the other day that said, "Your love of gardening will yield great fruit in your life." And it's like, oh, great. There are special things that you like to do. Why not use those things to reach people for Jesus? I had this idea some months ago that all the guys here that like to work on cars put on a car clinic once a month. We got a few of them. There's Dave, there's Joe, there's Dean Shook. Hey, come and let us show you how to change your oil. Let us show you the love of Jesus. Gardeners going out and use their gardening skills for showing people the love of Jesus. Or maybe just people that love to care for other people. Remember this. It doesn't matter what you do. Simple acts, small acts done with great love will change the world. Amen? How many of you would love to change the world? I can't do it. I'm just too small. How can I change the world? You don't have to. All you need to do is a small act with great love. Share the blessings of the Lord and then trust Him with the rest of it. Can it get any simpler than that? You have been blessed. Amen? Now go be a blessing. How about an amen to that? Let's pray. Father, as we end this message, it would be great to be able to leave here with the idea that many will take this seriously and be a blessing. But Father, I pray that there would be those who would take it seriously and would go out into this world and be a blessing. Now, Father, I pray that You would supernaturally enable every soul present in this place and use us to be an agent of God-given love. Right where You send us, wherever You plan us, wherever we are. Lord, use us. Let Your face please shine upon us so that the world may know. In Jesus' name, amen.
It doesn't talk about blessings, but it talks about the hope that we have in Christ. And that's what we're going to be sharing next week. So I think everything has been already spiritually connected with the message. In Christ alone.